Doesn't matter where you go today. Everything is, let's suspend for a while what Dad says so we can discover new territory. And sadly, even in the church. Where the church goes, the nation goes. What happened to the church? We brought dialogue in. I'm not saying dialogue is wrong. There are times you do share with your children how you feel and what you think, and they with you. But when you know what's right and wrong, there is no dialogue. And so the moment you go to dialoguing of opinions, how you feel, what do you think, Dad's gone. There is no father's authority. I make, again, like I said earlier, if you're an I feel and I think person, I hope you're miserable tomorrow. So we come to consensus, communism. We get communism. This is the whole system of communist system was getting everybody in a group. You know how brainwashing took place? They took our soldiers in North Korea. They were captured. They put them in a room and had them, diverse group, because some are more facts-based, others are feelings-based, diverse group dialoguing to a consensus over social issues in a facilitated media. That's a Soviet system. And in that system, there is no father's authority. They washed from the brain of our soldiers the father's authority. It's that simple. It's hard for us to see it. Why? Because we never like the father's authority, do we? Did you get up in the morning again saying, Dad, tell me what to do today? No. It's not our nature, but that's the knife of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. And that's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And we find now Eve, once she shares her ought, what happens? She's rational. Now she's right. She looks at the tree. The tree was good for food. Was the tree of knowledge good and evil good for food? Yes. They didn't die from that fruit. It wasn't poisonous. They'd be there today if God hadn't removed them from the tree of life. So she was technically correct. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was good for food. Was it good for Jesus to turn bread or rocks into bread? Yeah, but what does it say? Man doesn't live by bread alone. Eve, you don't live by whatever you feel like you need in the moment alone. But what? By every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. God said, don't eat it. No discussion, no dialogue necessary. And then she says, it's good for fruit. She's thinking. It's pleasing to the eyes. And as desirous to make one wise, she was correct in all three of those. But you know what? She was evaluating from her flesh. As a child, you evaluate from your flesh. This morning, you probably got up. Part of you was evaluating from the flesh. What can I get out of this life for me? And God doesn't answer your prayer sometimes because you consume it unto yourself. We're all children. We call ourselves adults. Well, unfortunately, we have a whole... My mom used to, as she taught, she used to give children an adult's brain. You know, when you're into the Word of God, even your children's reading the Word of God, they're getting an adult's brain in them. They're getting the Father's brain in them. But now we have adults with children's brain. You come into a church that no longer has the Word of God. They have, you know, every kind of version, interpretation, everything you have on the face of the earth in there, and they're dialoguing. That is a congregation with no adult's brain. They have no father's authority in their life. They're looking for answers, but in the wrong places. They're looking for answers in man's nature rather than in what the Word of God says. And so that's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. She's rational. She is. By the way, she's godless. She was godless right there. And then they were socialists. You know Adam and Eve were socialists? You know, socialism, you always blame somebody else for whatever happened to you. You know, it's my parents' fault. It's the environment I was raised in fault. Well, look at the language. The language betrays them. Adam goes, it's not my fault, it's her fault. That's socialist language. That's communism. That's our culture today. That's psychology. You are the result of what somebody else did to you. No, you're a result of what you did. You rejected the Word of God. And so it's all about changing the paradigm, shifting the way we think and we feel and we act towards one another in our relationships. What effect does the dialectic process have upon your life? Well, you might say, well, okay, you want to dialogue with my children. If you dialogue with your children on what's right and wrong, there is no right or wrong. So the husband and wife and the children become equal. Okay, so we do this. We go into the classroom, we liberate the children from the parents, and then they come home and there's stress in the home. And then we'll have counselors, even from the church, coming into the home, getting the parents to dialogue with the children. So we just got rid of the father. Everybody's equal. And so if everybody becomes equal, the surplus is not the property of one of them. What's the surplus? That's your children. Those are no longer your children. You make your children's feelings equal with you. You have no property rights. You can't say this is my business and not your business. This is my property, not your property. This is my children and not your children. That is all gone. Coming to America. Because of the way the children are being taught in the classroom. Even in the churches. Because they break the kids up, send them over here. You know, children need to be sitting next to dad and mom, hearing the Word of God. And you say, well, it's not age appropriate. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is not to go to your head, it's to go to your heart. A child knows that God is speaking to them, even a five-year-old, when they hear the Word of God. Yeah. But we rearrange the Word of God so it goes to their head and their heart and, you know, their feelings rather than to their soul. The Word of God speaks to your soul. That's why Moses had all the families there and preached the Word to them. But we send dad over here and mom over here and the kids over here. And we make it culturally appropriate to them. But what we do is change the authority of God's Word. Because the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God, not your opinion of the Word of God. And so all contracts regarding property or service and the like fall away. This sounds like Marx, but this is a Hegel. The surplus labor and property are absolutely common to all, inherently and explicitly. So how much property do you own? Do you realize you own no property? Don't pay your taxes for 3 years. And see how much property you don't own. Do you know for over 80 to 100 years in this nation, there was no property tax? Sort of a foreign concept, isn't it? Somebody came along and said, oh, we need to focus on community rather than inalienable rights, which is you. See, God gives you no man can put a lien on those rights. But we abandon inalienable rights for human rights. We abandon right and wrong for how do you feel and what do you think. And we are now an oppressed people because the Bible says when the children rule, the people are oppressed. The children now rule. Commercials are aimed at 14-year-olds. They're dumb. They're stupid. But we sit there and we become dumb and stupid. Because where else do you turn? Where do you turn for sanity and reality and clarity? If you're not turning to the Word of God, you will not receive it. All you'll receive is confusion. And Satan loves confusion. God is a God of order. I don't like the word balance. People say, well, we need balance here. No. We need order. Order gives you clarity. So train your children up in the admonition of the Lord. You are to train them. Don't turn them over to somebody else. This is an experiment. If the child blows up, you can't blame the educators. You put your child in an experiment. The scientist is never accountable for the result as long as he follows the formula. They're following a formula to promote Pandora's box. Their formula is to destroy your child's soul. You put your child in here, and you might say, well, I want him to be a witness. Well, okay, I pray to God again. Your child is martyred every day of the week. It's the only way your child's going to survive, to get through this and still have their soul. What is it to gain the world and lose your soul? What is it to gain approval of everybody else in this room and lose your soul? So, I'm over time, I think. So this is a blitz, but hopefully I open the door and let you look behind the scenes. I have a website on the handouts. Did you get them all handed out? Okay. No, didn't. Okay. On the handout, you can check it. It's down a lot of times on my web server. I don't know whether I'm getting harassed or what, but it's down. Most people would abandon them, but I'm hanging in there. But I have quotes upon quotes upon quotes, and it's just enough for you to understand where this is all going. And then we have material in the back if you're interested in looking at some of this more. But it's all spiritual. It's all. Do not accept it as secular. I call Bloom's taxonomies, and I share this, by the way, with people who deal with deliverance ministry, and they all come up and they say, this is exactly what we're dealing with. I call Bloom's taxonomies secularized Satanism, intellectualized witchcraft. This is Genesis 3, 1 through 6, put in practice in the classroom. What do you do? People say, well, what do I do? Talk to Dad tomorrow. Talk to Dad tonight. Let him direct your steps. Let him be. I have meet too many Christians that call hand wringers. They're anxious. They're tossing to and fro. They're involved in politics and everything under the sun trying to save the nation. Listen, God is not hung up on this nation. He is hung up on you. He's looking at your heart. The leadership of the nation reflects the heart of the people. He's looking at your heart. Is this nation worth saving by looking at your heart? It's personal. I don't get invited to too many places anymore. I get too personal. But that's what the Lord is. He's personal. He wants you to walk right before Him because He loves you. It's all about His love. He chastens you because He loves you. Because He wants you to what? Partake in His holiness, in His glory, in His life for eternity. There's only right or wrong. There's only heaven or hell. Now you have the in-between right now. But after your last breath, it's one or the other. It's mammon or God. Choose the Lord. And choose Him that you might be a witness, a light, salt. A light in the darkness for your children and for those around you, that they might come to know the truth as well. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because this is where you're going to go. In all your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And let Him be the one who directs your paths.